We are still in the book of 1 John, if you'd like to turn there, and the sermon series is called Real Love. If you're new to the Bible and you've got a paper Bible, go almost to the back of your Bible. It's not quite to the end, but almost to the end, the book of 1 John. So you hop on social media, and I know not everybody uses social media here, but you at least know about it. You get on social media. They say you get on your Instagram page, and there's someone on there. Let's say it's a lady, and she's on there, and all her pictures are just how great her life is and all the good stuff that's happening, and she loves her husband, and he's the greatest husband in the whole world. Maybe he is, I don't know, but that's what she puts on Instagram. Or you go to Facebook, and you just look at people on Facebook, and it's like, man, their life is great. There's a guy on there, and he just says, I'm spending time with my kids, and I'm spending time with the greatest wife any man could ever have. And they kind of put that image out there. I love her so much. So if you project that image, or it's social media or some other way, but you're treating your spouse, you're treating your family in an unloving way, you're a phony. You're fake. And people will eventually figure it out. But you could say you love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I've been following him for a long time. You can have all the books. You can have all the Christian music. Attend church every week. You can make sure that you only drink milk from Christian cows. The whole Christian culture thing. But if you are not obeying Jesus and his word, how can you call yourself a true follower of Jesus? Because if you're not obeying his word, you're not honoring the covenant you entered into with him, the covenant he made and you agreed to. Jesus absolutely wants to be your Savior. But he also says he must be your Lord as well. Today's message is called Real Love Means Radical Obedience. And if you've heard some or most of these messages, you know that John's central message is talking about loving God. We're supposed to love God, and we're supposed to love other people. Those are vital things for the follower of Christ, the believer in Christ. You can't separate those two things. They go together. The love you say you have for God, and the love God has for you, it must be reflected in our relationships with other people. And by the way, your expression of love does not have to look like everybody else. We all have different love languages. Maybe you read that old book a long time ago, Five Love Languages. There's probably more than five, but it's a great book if you ever want to read it, especially for married or engaged couples. Really great, great book, The Five Love Languages. We all express and receive love in different ways, and so you don't have to be like everybody else. I want to give you a couple of warm-up verses before we get into the main verses today. I read them in last week's message toward the end. Didn't really spend time on them, but I'm going to we'll just throw it up on the screen here. The last two verses of chapter 4 went like this. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person's a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. So love for God and love for people cannot be separated if you're going to read the Bible and see what it has to say to you. John made a very radical statement when he said, if someone claims to love God, I love God, I do all the things, but treats people with anything less than love, John says, I didn't say it, John says that person's a liar. It's a fake, it's a hypocrite. And what do non-Christians or non-church people, what is the charge they usually level at church or church people? That, oh, they're just full of hypocrites. Now, sometimes it's not fair. I get that. It's just really unfair. But sometimes it's deserved. Sometimes it is fair. And I know you don't want that for you. I don't think there's a person here that wants that for themselves, neither the image of a hypocrite or even being one at all. We don't want that image or our church to be like that. Real love means radical obedience to Jesus. I'm going to go through the first five verses of chapter 5, and then we'll look at each one of them one at a time. I'm reading from the NLT this morning. That's what's on the screens as well. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. And we know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we can achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So five verses, I see these verses. You get an encouragement verse, a couple of challenging verses, and then John comes back with a couple of more encouraging verses. If you live out the challenging ones, and I'll get to those in just a moment, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to put these things into practice. We're supposed to read the Bible and do what it says. You may have heard that somewhere before. Let's look closer at what the Bible says here and ask the Holy Spirit to show us how to do what it says, how to put this into practice. So let's go back to verse 1, spend more time on each verse. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. Now, all people are God's creation. Every person is part of God's creation. And we should treat other people, whether they're believers or not, whether they're behaving themselves or not, we need to remember that they are part of God's creation. And so in a very broad sense, all people are God's children. But in another sense, in the full sense of the idea, the family idea, we become a child of God, a fully reconciled child of God, the moment we confess Jesus as the Messiah. And when we promise to follow him, we enter into that covenant he made with us. Now, if you have not done that, you're not sure where you are with Jesus, you don't know if you've made that decision consciously, there'll be a couple of prayer team members up here toward the end of the service, and they'll be available after the service. I will talk to you after the service. We can get together later this week. We make a time to get together. I want you to know Jesus. And I'm not going to be pushy with you or anything like that. But if you're not sure where you are with the Lord Jesus Christ, I would love the chance to speak with you. But if you have made that confession, and many of us here have made that confession, we've entered in, accepted that covenant. If you've done that, you are God's child, and you belong to his family. You're part of God's family. And I hope that encourages you today. I hope just knowing I am part of God's family, I'm part of his plan, his kingdom, that should be encouraging. You belong to Jesus, and no one can take that away. Nobody can change that fact. You belong to Jesus, not the devil himself or any of his demons. They can't come along and take that away. No person has the ability or power to take away the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ. You are fully known by God. And that's one of the deepest human needs that we have, to be known by others. Other people can't fully know us like God does. You are fully known by God, and you are fully, without reservation, loved by God. Now, we're talking about real love. We're talking about God's love here, not romantic love, which is fun, not, you know, the love songs and the romantic novels and the stories and the movies and all of that. We're talking about real love, a love that will never fail, a love that you cannot be separated from. God loves you, period. Y'all know that? Do you remember that? Do you know that? That God loves you, period? If you know that God loves you, period, would you say, I do? Okay, good. You know that God loves you, period. And you're awake. It's good to hear you. All right. I mentioned last week that 1 John, when I read through 1 John, it reads to me as an expanded teaching on the answer that Jesus gave to a guy who asked him, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And he said, well, love God and love other people. And that's the short version of it anyway. But you're supposed to love God and then love people in the same way God has loved you. And the first part of this verse, it's still up there. It talks about that you love God, God loves you, and you are his child. Now look at the second part of the verse again. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too, as well. This is all one thought. That is the expected outcome or result when someone enters into a relationship with Jesus and they're seeking to follow him, which is a lifelong pursuit. If you know God and you know that he loves you and that you are his child, then naturally it should follow that we love the rest of the family, even when it's hard. Because sometimes it's hard. We have disagreements. We don't see things the same way. Sometimes we just don't feel it, but we're still commanded to do it. We love God. We love other people. We read the Bible, and we do what it says. Now, hopefully, verse 1 encourages you. Maybe read it later on today. And now we get to verse 2, which is the time to be challenged. Verse 2 says this, we know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. That's how we know we love God's children, if we're loving God and we're obeying his commandments. Part of the commandments of God is to love other people. Don't get this backward. So many people in the evangelical church, and I had some of this growing up, we get this backward. We don't obey God's commands, like a list of things that we're supposed to do and check off. We don't do these things, and we do these things. And then when we do enough of them, we're 80% or 90% or we're good enough, then all of a sudden we become God's child when we have gotten close enough, whatever that is. God instead takes us where we are. If you don't know Jesus, he takes you right now where you are. I don't care what has been in your past, what you're involved in right now. And think back when you accepted Jesus, he took you as is. No conditions. We accept his salvation, the free gift, the free offer of salvation that we can't buy, we can't earn, we can't do enough to get it. And then we obey his commands in response to that free gift. Otherwise, we can't really go around saying we love God if we're not obeying him. I want you to think about this. The more you obey God's commands, the more you are going to love other people. Now, it's always, you know, sometimes you think, I just need to love that person more. I just need to love that person more. And when it's our own efforts, it becomes difficult sometimes. But I've experienced this. You know, you obey God's commands, and then all of a sudden you kind of love this person more. Things are better, whatever it is. Really quick example comes from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, this is Jesus speaking to his followers, so he's speaking to us as well. It's preserved in God's word. Jesus said you're supposed to pray for your enemies. And that's hard. That's one thing to read it and talk about it in Sunday school. I'm supposed to pray for my enemies? I've experienced this in action, and maybe you have too. So you obey God, I'm going to pray, and maybe you wouldn't call them an enemy, but maybe it's a deep disagreement, they've opposed you, or some other thing, you know, whatever it is. You probably, when you realize you got to obey this command, you're not going to feel like it. Never. Don't wait till you feel like it, because you'll never do it. So you don't feel like it, but you do it anyway, because it's in God's word, I'm going to do this. And you find that the more I pray for this person, or whatever persons, the more love and compassion you have toward them. It just works that way. This happened a very, very long time ago, not here or anything close to here, but Diana and I had, I'll just say, someone in our life that we didn't see eye to eye on in a church setting. And that went on for a while, and we were both led or convicted or whatever you want to say. We were led to pray for not the circumstances, but the person or persons. And nothing changed. The circumstances, they never did change. But my attitude, and I think Diana would say the same thing, our attitudes changed toward the person. And we saw things in a different way, even though we still had the same disagreement. Maybe you've experienced this, maybe in this area or some other area. Nothing else changed except you prayed for them. That's the only difference. And when you're faced with this, you got to pray for them sincerely. Not, Lord, may their funeral be next week. May they have a really good funeral. No, you don't do that. You pray for their well-being, even though you don't want, you know, your feelings are, I don't care if they fall in a ditch tomorrow, but you pray sincerely for their well-being. You ask God to bless them and prosper them. And it's somehow, and it's not your own effort, it's not my effort, your attitude begins to change and you find a love you didn't know was there before. That's the Holy Spirit. Your love increases. And that's what we're supposed to do. We love others as we have been loved by God. And that's one example I picked out. There's many other examples in the Word of God. Look at the verse one more time. It's still up there. We know this. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. That's how we know. Verse 3 contains the central point of this message. Here it is. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Those first six words sum this message up. This is what if you don't remember anything else, remember those six words. Loving God means keeping His commandments. That's how we put our love into action when it comes to God. Loving God means keeping His commandments. You may not remember the verse reference or anything, but you can memorize six words. That is a straightforward, black and white statement. Those of you that are like the black and white kind of people, it's this or nothing. There it is. There's a great statement for you. Loving God means keeping His commandments. If you love God, you'll do what He says. If you don't do what He says, then how can you say that you love God? Not part of what He says, all of what He says in His Word. Real love means radical obedience. Despite the culture that we live in, despite what your friends are doing at school or at work and the clubs you belong to or anything else, despite everything that's going on around you, and sometimes you think, what are people thinking? Despite anything else, we obey Jesus. And next year, I'll bring you a sermon series based on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. It starts in chapter 5. And Jesus lays out some things in the Sermon on the Mount that He expects His followers to do, how to live everyday life. He's not saying this is how you should, everybody should live their life. He's saying, believers, my followers, this is what I expect from you. So I'm going to give you some examples. I'm not going to spend any time on any of them, but check this out. Here's from Jesus, from the Sermon on the Mount, here are some things that He said. Sustained anger toward a person is equal to murder. Calling someone by a derogatory name is equal to murder. Lusting after someone sexually is the same as going through with it. Keep all your promises. Your yes should be yes, your no should be no. Don't resist an evil person. If they smack you, let them smack you again. That's one of the most difficult teachings that Jesus gives us. Love your enemy. Don't make a show about your good deeds. Don't make a big show about your public praying. Talk to God. Don't just repeat things you've heard from others and say it over and over and over again. Don't worry. Don't judge other people in a hypocritical manner. And He said that not everyone that calls on my name will be in the kingdom of heaven. That ought to make us all a little nervous and check into what He's talking about. All those teachings, they're direct from Jesus. I didn't make one of them up. And those teachings and more from the Sermon on the Mount and other places in the New Testament, they're for sissies. This is not like wimpy time. Christianity, real Christianity, really following Jesus has nothing to do with wimpy people. You can't be a wimp and be a follower of Jesus. Jesus was serious about every one of these. It's how He expects His followers to conduct their lives. And some of the commands He gives us are not easy to do. You can't have Jesus as Savior if you will not have Him as Lord. I'd like you to think about that statement for a moment. You cannot have Jesus as Savior if you will not also have Him as Lord. You can't separate Savior and Lord. They have to go together. Man, we want Him to save us, right? Get us to heaven, Jesus. We call in the name of Jesus. I'm going to get to go to heaven, and that'll be great. When I die, I don't really die. I just go somewhere else. And by the way, Jesus is the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can offer you salvation. He's the only one that has the authority to give you salvation. But you can't simply just, I'm going to repeat a prayer that somebody told me to repeat and maybe get baptized, and now I've got my fire insurance. You don't just, get your get out of hell free card, put it in your pocket until you're you're standing at the gates. I don't know if they're really gates in heaven, but you're in heaven. I just got my card here. Confessing Jesus as Lord means obeying him, or he is not your Lord. You cannot have Jesus as Savior if you will not have him as Lord. Real love means radical obedience, not rules-based obedience, but obedience based on a love for God and a confession that Jesus really is Lord. And in the book of James, James wrote that he was a slave of Jesus, or some versions say a servant of Jesus. That's what we are to be. That's how we should think of ourselves. I'm a slave of Christ. I'm a servant of Christ. And obedience does seem hard sometimes. It does. And with the wrong attitude, with the wrong thinking, obedience can feel very, very burdensome. But look at the second part of the verse again. The verse says, the Bible says, God says, that his burdens or his commandments are not burdensome. That's the statement Jesus gives us, or that God gives us. His commandments are not burdensome. They may seem burdensome, they may feel burdensome sometimes, but they really aren't. And they will be burdensome to you if you approach them like a list of rules. I gotta get this and this, and I gotta get this out of my life. Oh, I'm just a mess. You and I are not going to be perfect in this, none of us. We're never going to be perfect in our following, in our desire to follow Jesus and always obey his commands. But our attitude should be one of radical obedience to God's commands. We still shoot for that. We shoot for what the example that Christ has given us, and we shoot for the commandments that he's given us. And I remind you that every believer has the Holy Spirit living in them. And if you know Jesus, that includes you. You have the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. There are two things, at least two things, or maybe there's more, but there's two things that the Holy Spirit does for you as you seek to be radically obedient to the Word of God. First thing, the Holy Spirit will help you in this if you ask. Less burden right there. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Maybe you have to ask him every day for 3 years. I don't know. But less burden. When the Holy Spirit's helping you, he's going to carry the weight. You're still responsible, but he's going to help you. The second thing, the Holy Spirit will help you when you fall short. Because we all fall short from time to time. The Holy Spirit will remind you to accept God's grace. The Holy Spirit will remind you there is an ongoing forgiveness available to all of us that know Jesus. There's less burden right there. And you could probably come up with some more. When you have the Holy Spirit, the commands of the Bible are not a list of rules. And always remember, this is so important, you'll hear me repeat this as long as I'm here, for years and years. I'll say this again. God's commandments in his word are given to you and given to me to either bless you or protect you, or both. The commands are there for your benefit. And they're also there to maintain and strengthen your relationship with him. Just last week, it was last Sunday actually, I read a story in online, and it was from Kirkwood, Missouri. And Kirkwood is a St. Louis town in the county, but it's an inner town. It's not in rural at all. It's very the Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church is located there. I think there's a university there. It's a really cool town. If you ever go to Kirkwood, it's really kind of a neat place to hang out. But the point is, it's a town. It's not rural at all. So what happened last week was that a bear was in Kirkwood. I mean, we've seen bears reported down like south of St. Louis, South County, and Jefferson County down that way. And we've had some down at the lake here. But Kirkwood is a very unusual place for a black bear to show up. So they eventually tranquilized him, I think, later that day, and they were able to, you know, they didn't have to kill it. They took him somewhere else. I don't know what they did. But while the bear was still at large, the sheriff came on and told people a few things. And what the sheriff told them is, like, keep your distance from the bear. Don't feed the bear. Okay, sheriff, we won't feed the bear. But the one that got me is he said, don't take selfies with the bear. I swear, if you don't believe me, I'll find the article and email it to you. You laugh because you would never think of taking a selfie with a bear. But apparently, some people thought it was a good idea to take selfies with a bear. The sheriff has dedicated himself to serving and protecting the people of St. Louis County. He's trying to protect people, not take away your right to have a selfie with a bear, as cool as that might be. He's wanting to protect you. God is doing the same things when he tells us to do these things, stay away from these things, don't do these things. It's to protect us and bless us, or both. Just this week, and I alluded a little bit of this in my prayer time, but just this week we've seen many difficult things in the news. And so our world has problems. We had a lot of problems last year. Now that big same problem is carried over into this year. And now we've got some new problems we didn't even know about last year. So our world has problems, and it always has. Even in Bible times, there were some really big problems, like injustice and terrible things that were going on. It's nothing new under the sun, as King Solomon said. It's nothing new under the sun. It just kind of cycles through. There's evil in the world. And every person here, I think, we wish if we could, you know, wave our wand or whatever, we would love it if evil could be defeated and just wipe out all the bad things that people do and the bad things that are done to people. And that in our country particularly, because this is our home, our country, the United States, we would love it if somehow we could have a revival or something where at least many people or most people would turn back to God and get serious about him. And we would want that for the world, other countries as well. All the evil that you read about and experience. Well, guess what? It's going to happen. We have a guarantee that it will happen. Jesus has already defeated evil. It's over. And if you know him, you're on his side. You're with him. And I'll tell you something else. It's okay to read the back of the book, the end of the book. Sometimes you say, well, this book is great, like a murder mystery or something. Don't read the end because it's got this twist and you want to be surprised when you get there. It's okay to read the back of the book, the end of the book, the end of Revelation. The last few chapters of Revelation, if you want to read, say, the last three or last five right in there, they tell you exactly what's going to happen. Exactly. And a spoiler alert, in case you haven't read the end of the Bible, Jesus wins, and we're on his side. That ought to encourage you right there. And that leads us to a couple of encouraging verses here. Look at verse 4. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. So your own sins, maybe there's sins you haven't had total victory over just yet. Those that have sinned against you, the sins that have been committed against you or your family, and some of those have caused deep, deep lasting hurt. All the evil that you've experienced or you've heard about, you will defeat it because Jesus has already defeated it. It's already done. And he will come back to take you home with him. He will. You can count on it. Now, is that not good news? In the midst of a bad news week, is that not some good news? The good news of Jesus Christ, the promises that he has given us. Evil has been defeated, and evil will be defeated. Look at the verse again. Evil's not going to be defeated ultimately by laws. Now, there's some good laws in our country, and there's some really terrible, awful laws in our country. And some laws I'd like to see, you know, erased off the books and other laws enacted that would better reflect that would better reflect the values of God. There we go. The victory over evil is achieved through your faith and relationship with Christ and the collective faith of all his true children. Having faith in Jesus means radical obedience to God's word. Your faith is what will see you through during that hard thing you might be going through right now, or you may be facing in the future. You live long enough, you're going to face something hard in the future. But your faith is what's going to see you through. And I'm not trying to be negative. I want this part of the message to be encouraging, but here's the fact. There will be new challenges next year that aren't even on our radar right now. Something's going to come up, something in the news, something terrible in our country or around the world or something. And then in 5 years, there's going to be things happen that nobody could have even possibly guessed. And that's going to go on and on and on until Jesus returns and puts the world back the way he created it in the first place. But your faith in Jesus and your obedience to him in the midst of these circumstances, that's what sees you through these things. And that's ultimately what will defeat the evil in your life. But you can't go around saying, oh, I have faith. My faith is so important to me. It's the most important thing in the world. You can look at my Facebook profile. I'm Mr. Christian. I'm Ms. Christian. It's on the bumper sticker on the back of my car. Action must accompany those things. Radical obedience to God's word. When that happens, evil shrinks in fear. The devil shrinks in fear, and he doesn't bother you. Verse 5 drives us home. Look at this verse again. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There's another nice, straightforward, black and white statement. Who can win this battle against the world? We've got all this stuff in the world that we don't like. It's evil. Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only way to win a battle, whether it's the battle in the world or your personal battle that you may be going through right now or face in the future. Believing who Jesus claims to be, the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, believing Jesus. Next week, I'm going to spend some time in the message showing you how you can be sure, how you can count on the fact that Jesus really is the Son of God. But that's next week. I hope those last two verses encourage you today, especially in the midst of a world that seems to have gone crazy sometimes. My greatest desire as a brother in Christ and as a pastor is that every person would know Jesus Christ, at least have a chance to say yes or no to him, and that those who do know him would obey him, because that's going to bless and protect each person. A radical faith, a radical obedience. Now, we've got a couple of members of the prayer team. If you guys would come up and find a spot. Here's the challenge this morning. Where can you go beyond saying you have faith, beyond playing church, beyond the Christian culture, putting the Christian mask on, crossing over all of that and into radical obedience to Jesus? Are you bold enough to pray this simple prayer? God, show me today how I can obey you more. Or you can put it into your own words. That's a pretty simple prayer. God, show me today how I can obey you more. God accepts you as you are. You have his full love. He's not going to reject you. You have his real love. He sent his son to die for you. If you ever have doubts how much God loved you, he sent his son to die for you. He gave you salvation. So will you return that love by doing what he says to do? I'll pray briefly. I'll give you some time to talk to God or pray with prayer team members in just a moment. You guys are going to stay there or come up. Whatever you're comfortable with, it's fine. And then I'll come back and pray for all of us, and then we'll have a closing song in a moment. So respond however the Holy Spirit is asking you to respond. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for every one of my friends here today. Lord, like every person here, I struggle sometimes to obey certain aspects of your word. But I pray all of us would have the attitude that is our goal. That is what we want to do. We want to obey you, Lord. We accept your commands, even the hard ones, as things that are good for us. And Lord, I ask that you speak to every person here in the next few minutes. And church, if you are willing to pray this, it's just between you and God. Prayer team members are up here if you want to pray with somebody else. But the prayer is, God, show me how I can obey you more. I'll give you some time to talk to God now. Lord, I pray that the conversations that have been started with you around this subject would continue long after we leave this place. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you move in each of my friends. I pray that you speak to them, remind them that maybe there's some more they need to talk to you about. Prompt each of us to pray, to seek you. We thank you again for your word, Lord. Help us to obey it, not just know it, not just have all our theology correct, but to obey your word, Lord. I pray these things, offer them up on behalf of all of us, in the name of Jesus today. Amen.